Hello and welcome to Big Trouble in Little Podcast, a show where there is themes of movies and they have a gimmick of ranking at the end of the month. Today is different. We go into the universe with a great series called Star Trek, and Zach chose Balance of Terror, Space Seed, and City of the Edge of Forever in Joy.
I'm gonna do this like Captain Kirk, you know, when he's losing air in the bridge. 10:36 p.m. Eastern Time, Captain's log, April 2nd, 2024. Ate too much General Tao chicken. This is episode 280 of Big Trouble Little Podcast. I'm Joe Dubs.
Damn it, Captain! I'm Andy, not a doctor.
Assassins, Chaz.
Amusing, Zach.
Was that Khan?
No.
Spock.
Spock.
Oh, yeah.
He always has like a one word
fake response. Nerd.
Like a little, he does the little people's eyebrow before The Rock ever did it.
Yeah. 90 second diatribe about your train brain a second ago, and you didn't pick the autism reference. That's all Spock is. Spock is just autism and
yep.
At normal
yep.
time.
That's what all the Vulcans are.
Yeah. Noose. Autism's not even real. It's just Vulcans that were sent back in the past.
Vulcans!
Oh, man.
Space elves.
So, Zach has chosen the original series with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. So, Zach, I'm going to hand it off to you with Balance of Terror, which, by the way, there was the way I watched it, Chaz was right. The like episodes were all fucked up, so like I had to like look for it.
Same. I checked into this. It's like for some reason Paramount counts the pilot as the first episode. That's why it's off. It's just off by one.
Yeah, it's just by one. It's just right.
I just went by the name. I mean, I trusted that the titles you chose were it, so I just went with those. That's fine.
Well, I went to Wikipedia and I found it that even on Wikipedia, it's got the order ish. Like how you were saying on Amazon, so that must be the real order episodes.
So yeah, whatever. The pilot's episode zero. So yeah,
yeah.
I was like, that's fine.
But yeah, this is episode season one, episode 14, really.
And, that one's a terror.
This is the first episode where Romulans appear.
Whoa!
Like at first. It, for like the first like 13 episodes of Star Trek, you don't really encounter all the other like well-known races that inhabit space in Star Trek. Like there's no Klingons yet. There's no Ferengi. That they came later anyway. I know.
Yeah, Ferengi Ferengi got introduced in The Next Generation, but then they were like, this is stupid. And they completely redid them.
It's like they mostly encounter like other humans or like really strange looking aliens, like the fucking lizard man Kirk fights in Arena or whatever. Even though I actually think that episode comes after this one.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that, though, like giants. There's like a race of giants that you never actually see on camera, but they're throwing like spears that are like the size of trees. But, in this episode, you know, starts with a couple of like other crewmen getting married or whatever, and then they encounter like a Romulan ship and a bunch of stuff happens just from there. And then when they explain like what Romulans are, you see like these guys look like Spock kind of, but they're like assholes.
That bothered me. I kept thinking about it the whole episode. And I kept rerunning it through my head. They said they fought a war before with like old style atomic weapons and they couldn't see each other because there weren't view screens. But how did they broker a neutral zone and a peace if that were the case? It kept turning. It's like, what, did they, was it a radio communication? Was it just like, like an understood thing? Like it just the war petered out? Like what happened? I don't understand that because they're like, that's what they look like. We've never seen them before. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, I was a little confused on that. That's why I was like, I think you're right. Like they were just like, hey, we know they're bad guys, but we've never seen them before. Let's create a neutral zone. And I was like, I never understood that, by the way. So I need to research on the neutral zone.
I think it's just a case of like, they're making this up as they go along right now, like literally in the show, kind of.
It seemed like it.
You know, this is episode 14. So, and like, they don't re-encounter Romulans as far as I've made it. Like they haven't re-encountered them yet. But it's pretty interesting because, yeah, they go over all that stuff, the neutral zone, whatever. But, like, when it's, like, revealed, like, oh, he looks like Spock. And then there's a guy in the crew who's, like, racist because they fought Romulans or whatever. And he's like, well, you're like them. I can't trust you anymore. Like, that's kind of thing starts
What's
happening.
Even him? He's got that weird, like, Confederate heritage bullshit. He's like, my granddaddy fought them, stupid space elves. Like, I don't even know what they look like. Oh, they look like you. I don't like you anymore.
Your kind ain't welcome here, boy.
You emotionless, long-eared weirdo. Go over there, you spy. Communist.
Yeah. By the way, they did a lot of, like, because I know they did it in one of the old Star Trek movies, but this felt like submarine play, combat.
Yeah, this is a submarine episode, mm-hmm. Big time, yeah.
It was really cool because there's a lot of tension, even though it was just like moving around in a chair and like they shake the camera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The Romulans even had like a political officer aboard, like the Soviets did. Like it felt a lot like that.
Yeah, and it makes sense too because I think you mentioned before, like, oh, we don't understand the neutral zone, but I mean, in real life, I mean, that's not an uncommon or unheard of thing. If two territories are fighting over each other, there might be a neutral area.
Yeah, the 48th parallel.
Yeah, so I mean, it's actually they're literally just playing off of real life topographical battle. It's just they're using it in space because space.
Yeah, but space is three dimensional. That's another thing that always bothered me about the neutral zone.
that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
So that'd be funny though to see it play off like the neutral zone's right here, and then they just move their ship down.
Yeah,
like checkmate.
Well, in real life, I mean, like in real life, on Earth it's three dimensional too. You could dig underneath the neutral zone and tunnel through.
I guess that's true. It's just like you know, you don't fly there and you don't do whatever else. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, they basically get in a fight with them and. Like the Romulan ship is like got cloaking technology and it's got like these super powerful torpedoes and they have to like turn their cloaking unit off to be able to even use them. And then like the Enterprise doesn't have as strong weapons as them, but they're faster and they can't cloak. So it creates this interesting dynamic in the battle.
It's funny because like the racist, a pointy ear guy that he hates like people that look like Vulcans and Romulans or whatever. He was like, we need to attack him, attack him, attack him. And he's like throwing shade at Spock. Yeah. And, like Spock is like thinking about this. He's like, what now, bitch? What now? And McCoy's like, we're not going to galactic war. Are you crazy? And then Spock is like, yeah, we need to attack them. That's the right move. And McCoy's like, fuck.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite scene in the episode is it shows because they're trying to hammer home the whole series. Look, Spock doesn't, he's not concerned about like envy or you know, passion or none of that. It's just like, this guy's like, I'm racist and I'm going to be an asshole. And Spock's like, yes, we should attack. That's true. Like yep. he looks at it logically and he says, yeah, we should attack them before they get to the neutral zone. If there's going to be a fight, it needs to be on this side so that we can prove, look, they violated our space. We were in the right. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I like that scene a lot because there's interesting conversation. And also you understand where Bones is coming from in that we don't want to start an intergalactic war. But no one brings up the fact that the Romulans had, I guess, killed several hundred Federation people on those asteroids at some point. So I don't know, but yeah. That's what's interesting about it is, are they justified or?
Well, it's funny you say that. It gets brought, the outpost thing gets brought up, but it is just quickly covered up by the fact that the person that's bringing it up already has this terrible bias. Like, yeah, he does have a good point. He's right. It's just then he's biased to just be overzealous in thinking, so then that narrows his thinking. But, I mean, again, they have been attacked in their territory by what they perceive to be the enemy. And again, they've broken the treaty first, but it's clearly, I mean, the Romulans thought, oh, we're smarter than they are. We're more advanced than they are, so we can get away with this and maybe even trap them and trick them into following us. I think it's cool because for me, this is the, as far as I can remember, this is the very first time I'd ever watched the original series, and this immediately gives a lot to the show in terms of the dynamics between the officers, but also it gets to show off Kirk's tactics. Like, Kirk outsmarts this guy, like, multiple times. So I think it's just really cool. I thought it was a neat episode. He gets
outsmarted a few times, though.
He does, but I think that, in all fairness, I think that part of that is he is doing the next step, but it's because the both of them are thinking a step ahead. Like, they are thinking like each other, so, and they even say that. I mean, that's the whole thing. I know this episode just because of the iconic line toward the end, but other than that line, I had never watched it, so I didn't know what it's about, but I just thought it was really interesting. I also can't not ever think of Spock when he does something like that, because there's like some dub over of some, you guys remember the thing that, from the X-Men, the I'm the Juggernaut bitch?
Yeah.
There's a thing where like someone says something really hateful to Spock, and then he just replies like completely unfazed by it, and then immediately after it dubs in and says, "Silly bitch, your weapon's gonna harm me." It's like every time I hear shit like that. So I thought about that multiple times this episode. It's like, yeah
I just want to, I also want to point out the camera work. I really liked it in this episode. Like what they do at the end of every episode is like really unique to me. Like when they have like Kirk just walking towards the camera or away, it just feels genuine. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It doesn't feel like you're watching a TV show. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's just like end show, and then he just walks off like Kirk is gonna do something, like he's going to his quarters or he's going to the bridge. Yeah. I just really liked it, and even though it's like cheesy, you know, 1960s stuff going on, it's really good for that time.
Yeah, that's what I was struck by too. This is definitely the first time I've ever watched the original series, and I knew I wanted to watch it one day because I knew the writing was decent. And I just kind of wanted, I like the movies. I want to know where all these characters came from, but I had this image in my head of what it was going to be quality wise, and I was wrong. Like, it's actually pretty good. There's a reason the show is famous. It looks good. It's well shot. The acting I could take or leave at times, but it looks really good. And of course, this is like high def'd up. They prettied it up a little bit, but it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did a really good job with the remaster on this. But yeah, I kind of had like the same perception of the show before I started watching it. It was like, well, this is probably going to be like, you know, Adam West Batman, but Star Wars. It's not Star Wars, Star Trek. But, yeah, like, and then I started watching it. I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty good. Like, this got decent, right? I like the dynamic between, like, the senior crewmen, like Kirk, Spock, and McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, the thing I like most about this show is, like, all three of those guys' dynamic with each other. Especially with Kirk and Spock.
Yeah. That's the best duo, in my opinion, out of every Star Trek show, is Kirk and Spock. And that, when we get to the third episode that you picked, is a big reason why they're like a great duo. The only thing I will say that's kind of like funny is like when they do the camera shot of Kirk when he's sitting in his captain chair and like everything is dark besides his like eyes area. They like light up the eyes. I was like, that's kind of cheesy, but I guess that's what it was in the 60s. He's like, he's this serious captain and they need to show like his emotion or no emotion. I wonder if that didn't look
better on like a standard definition 60s television.
Probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get some of that in some of these episodes with like some of the old special effects or whatever. But I glossed over this too. I just forgot to mention this. Like in the initial attack, the couple that got married in the beginning of the episode, like her husband dies in that attack.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, and, it sucked. I was like, I knew that was gonna happen. The moment they had someone get married, I was like, someone's a fucking die.
Chekhov's marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, that gets addressed at the end of the episode, too. Like, you know, there's like a little scene at the end where they're like talking. I think it was Kirk and the wife.
Yeah, I actually... The way she was like looking at Kirk, I'm like, is she gonna kiss him? Like, is she gonna just totally forget about him?
No, I was actually, when he like walked up behind her and she's like crying, she's sitting there waiting, and then he goes up to, I was like, is he gonna be like, don't worry, baby, I'll smash? I don't know what's gonna happen.
It's not Zap Brannigan, come on.
Well, to be fair, I mean,
yeah, Kirk's a player in this show a little bit, but it's like not as much as like what it was made out to be. I also noticed.
Yeah, I it was funny when the plasma whatever thing that like turned the purple Kool-Aid into like smoke and like tried to kill him, and that's when the racist guy like had that moment of like, oh, the race that I hate saved my life.
Yeah,
I'm not a racist anymore. Maybe for just a second.
Some kind of like coolant duct or whatever ruptured and it sprayed a bunch of like gas in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, Spock saved them because he's a Vulcan. He has superior physiology to us humans or whatever.
He still did the logical thing. He's like, we need you.
He was just like, that dude, my man is, they call it a locomotive enthusiast. That's what he is.
Yeah.
But the fight is like pretty much the rest of the episode between these two ships, and you see like the Romulans and you see them and like, what are they doing? They're moving against each other. And then the fight finally ends. The Enterprise wins, obviously. And then there's like a moment at the end where he's talking to the captain and Kirk offers like, I'll save your crew. And he's like, no, we cannot surrender to our enemies. But we could have been friends in some other life or something. It was like they respected each other at the end and it was over. It was cool.
Did I see that in like a Russian versus U.S. submarine movie where that happened, where they respected each other? Like, is that like a thing?
I don't know. I've not seen that many submarine movies. I've only seen Hot Fred October.
So. Yeah. I think I watched a movie where like the Russian guy was like, we could have been friends. And he's like, just fucking get on the submarine.
I mean, that it is a heavily like tributed phrase, like it's been used so many other times in other TV.
It's a trope.
It's totally a trope. Actually, what's funny, the Futurama episode that's like this, that happens at the end, the gas blob's like, we could have been friends, and I think Fry says the episode, but he gets the episode wrong because the episodes are listed differently because of how the pilot is, and then the gas blob calls him out on it, and goes, hey, it's actually this, and he laughs and runs away.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just getting that confused, so.
That's what I call a high T trope, though. That's high testosterone trope. You battle fairly and hard, and then you die, and you're like, "We could have been friends, bro."
Yeah, you do like the Arnold. You grab the forearms and shake right before you stab him for the kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My final thoughts on this one. I liked it. The writing was really good. Again, I just want to point out the camera shots I liked, and it's just writing overall in this episode I digged. But I did, like Chaz, when I saw the marriage thing and the name of the episode called Balance of Terror, I'm like, oh, one of these people are going to fucking die.
I'm too desensitized by way too much other television to know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But it would have been neat to see. You just undo all the other stuff that I've watched or be aware of. It'd be a cool thing to kind of take in first sight. This episode also does something great. I watched this and immediately wanted to watch more because there are so many unanswered questions. Again, they don't talk or know anything about why Spock looks like the Romulans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big thing, and I'm sure that gets you to flesh out more in the series. So, I think it was great. It was a great episode for you to choose for us to watch. It's watching in order to watch first. I mean, other than the obvious, just watching the pilot. So I was very happy with that choice.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pick the pilot, but I'll get into that after Dubs gets done.
Yeah. I'm just going to say it right off the bat. I'm going to recommend every episode. So that's me.
It's Star Trek. Like, come on.
Yeah. Andy, what about you? Final thoughts?
This is a good episode. I, after watching it now, I'm conflicted. I don't know if I'm going to move on to Voyager like I had planned, or if I should go back and watch the original series, because it's a lot better than I was giving it credit for.
Yeah, I'm in a similar pickle. I'm in a similar pickle with watching DS9 versus this now, because I'm like, oh, I didn't expect it to be so good.
Yeah. If you watch the original series, you have to watch the movies directly after.
That's my plan.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, right? I'm working on it slowly.
Yeah, I might do that and then pick up.
Because the second episode is like a link to one of the movies.
That's why I picked it. I was going to say why I didn't pick the pilot. The pilot's like an hour and a half long, because that's most TV shows have really long pilots.
Sure.
It's two episodes, basically.
Yeah.
But I also didn't pick it because I didn't think it was that good.
Hmm.
Like compared to like how the rest of the show ends up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's interesting to watch, like, especially if you already like Star Trek and you know, like, oh, Kirk becomes the main guy and you see like how everything was before the show actually started. It's a little different. Like, the Enterprise deck looks different a little bit. The clothes, the uniforms are all different. Hmm. There's totally different characters in that crew. The only one that's still there is Spock. But yeah, it's, to me, it's like the weakest thing I've seen in the whole show so far is the pilot.
Yeah.
So it's not as enjoyable.
Hmm. Would you say skip it?
Probably. Like I said, unless you're like a huge fan and you're interested in that kind of stuff, like, how different was it?
I've seen it once. It's really not that great.
What's really funny to me is like when I learned the backstory for like, why didn't they have this Pike guy? Like, why did they change actors and everything? Is because apparently his wife was like uber controlling in that dude's life and like was kind of like his manager halfway. And she was like, this show isn't going to be anything. It's stupid. It's just stupid children shit. Come on. I forget the guy's name. We're not doing this show. And then like William Shatner was just like, happened to be the next guy to try for it. And they're like, no, we'll go with him. His wife fucked him out of that job.
It's weird to change the name of the character too.
Yeah, and then like his career also didn't really go anywhere either. Like,
his own distinct character in Star Trek. It's interesting.
Yeah, I saw a neat thing about that. So just totally separate, but since we're watching Star Trek, it was on Reddit. It was about that character and about how that person died before he ever got to see how he was honored, I guess, in a way. Which I don't watch the other stuff, but because he is his own unique character and.
A little short story. It's not a spoiler, but Pike goes to a planet, touches a crystal, and he sees his future of him dying, and he knows that he's going to die. So that's what's crazy about his character.
There's also a two-part episode, like a two-part story, or it might even be three. I can't remember now, where they kind of go over what happens in the pilot. It's like it reframes the whole pilot in the backdrop of like another story that's going on currently in the series. Hmm. And you see Captain Pike again, and he's part of this tribunal thing reviewing like this footage of the pilot for some reason. And he's like in like a future wheelchair. That's also like a support unit. And like,
Futurama has also ruined that for me.
Yeah. He can't communicate. All he can do is like, flash a light bulb for yes.
It's the beep thing. Yeah, it makes me think of the joke where Zoidberg tries to tell all the jokes and nobody's laughing, and then the thing rolls up and just goes, and everybody laughs. Like, tough crowd.
But yeah, the next episode I picked was Space Seed, episode 22 of season 1,
1996. Eugenics wars.
Eugenics wars. Like, when you don't know what any of this shit means, like, when you know, did you fight in the Clone Wars? Like, the Clone Wars, that sounds so fucking cool. What is that?
I mean, we lived through the Eugenics wars. I mean, they weren't so bad.
Kind of. It didn't really go to fruition like how it was supposed to.
We didn't have fucking clone superhumans being dictators of the fucking world and shit.
Yeah, we all got fat and fucking... Now we have cell phones.
Yes.
That kind of sucks. I think we should have had those eugenics wars.
Yeah.
But eugenics wars just sounds cool on the face of it. And they, like they come across like I think it was like a beacon or something, and they find like an old ship. I'm going off memory because I watched these like a month ago or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You also, got it right. Yeah, there was a beacon near a I can't remember the name of the lab or whatever, but they were near some type of lab that was.
It's like a ship, I think. It was like just a floating vessel that was dead.
The Botany Bay.
Botany Bay. That's it. Thank you.
I always think about Chekhov saying it in Wrath of Khan. Botany Bay.
If I miss anything, just like fill in the blank for me. If I just forgot, but and they decide to check it out, and then they find like a bunch of people are like in a stasis on this ship, and it's like, okay, let's try to get one, and they revive a guy more or less, and it turns out to be Khan.
Yeah.
And at that time, he's just a guy on a ship, and he's not really like it. Wrath of Khan, not yet.
Mr. Blackface himself.
Is that makeup? Like, I can't remember.
I don't know if they bronzed the shit out of him, but like, he's a white dude.
And or if it's like a Chief J. Strongbow thing, he's just really all because he's Italian, you could pass him off as a Native American like thing.
Yeah.
What are you, Puerto Rican? All right, Quang. Yeah. You're Asiatic now. Whatever. Asiatic.
Yeah.
They get him on the ship and they start asking him questions and stuff. And then they find out he's from like the 1990s. And there's like a woman who's like really fascinated with him because she's
MacGyver.
She's like a anthropologist or whatever.
Like a historian and stuff and like all that stuff.
Yeah. And like, he's already starting he's plotting. Like you can see it in his face. Like, you know, when he's like talking to people and he has like these little moments where like people leave him off camera by himself and he'll like make like a face or something. Like, this is a bad guy.
Yeah.
They picked the perfect guy though. I mean, he just looks like a bad guy.
He was jacked, dude. Like, he's jacked in the Wrath of Khan, but he's like that. He's like, he has like,
he's like old man jacked.
Yeah. He's like Hulk Hogan, just without the hot dog skin. Wrath of Khan.
I think in Wrath of Khan it's fake too. In this, the actor is actually jacked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was on the gas in this one.
Probably.
but like he starts plotting to like take over the ship and just, I guess, do whatever, start take over the galaxy.
Well, it's funny because they find out who he really is. He's like, his full name is Kanien Soon or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And they're all having dinner, right? And they're all just like, yeah, tyranny sucks. And he's like, no, not really. And he's like, defending it.
You know, have you ever given it a shot?
Yeah, it's like, you know, Hitler, he had a point. Like that's effectively
ideas. He had Autobahn, Volkswagen.
Well, I got a question for you guys, because was it McCoy? I forgot who was at the. I know Kirk was there, but Spock was like,
yeah, when they talk about how great he was, but not.
Yeah,
that is bizarre because they're like, you know, there was, you know, less violent, or there was less violence under his reign or something like that. And then Spock points out, yeah, they had as much safety as they didn't have freedom.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's tyranny. Yeah, you got it.
And they all like laugh at the same time. Like, you just Spock, you don't know about humans and all that stuff.
Yeah, Kirk says something like, there's just something about humans where like they can still like respect somebody if they had a lot of power or did something like, you know, that was like an achievement of some kind, whatever.
I got the impression it's like discussing Genghis Khan. Like Genghis Khan is an incredibly interesting historical figure, but he was like a monster. So, yeah, you know, but I'm still going to be like, oh, man, I'm going to listen to this podcast about Genghis Khan. He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the people that do great things, even if they're terrible, it can still be very interesting to see how those things come to pass.
It's still a human achievement, whether or not it was good or bad.
Yeah,
like that kind of, and like the rest of the episode is like him just making these moves. Like he starts macking on the anthropologist woman, and he basically like seduces her, and she just starts doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, she goes submissive mode real fast.
Well, do you see him? Oh, he's shit. Like huge, and he has 20 charisma.
Did you see how dreamy he is, though? I mean,
he definitely is persuasion rolled in, like, had max charisma stat. She couldn't say no.
But even he, like, was, like, surprised, like, he got her. Because he's, like, he, like, threw that D20, and he's, like, she's, like, yes, I'll be with you. And he's, like, what? Okay.
Oh, no, actually, it's such a fucking power move. He's, like, be here only if you want to be. But now you got to ask to stay here. I don't know what it is. Apparently, this whole show makes me think of the Juggernaut bitch skit, because I kept thinking of that thing. I'm gonna take that shit. Or you're gonna give it to me willingly.
That's called a Sigma male move.
And actually, like, don't ask me why I know this, because I will not explain it. But that actually is something that, like, pickup artists do. Is if a woman, like, if you're, like, trying to get attention from a woman and she rejects it, you're supposed to, like, immediately get away from her and deprive her of your attention. And then she'll say, oh, hang on, I like attention. And it, like, tricks them into liking you more. It's a real fucked up psychological thing. And he did it in that episode. I was like, oh, whoever wrote this is really smart.
In terms of, like, short-term, like, that shallow gain of if that's what you're wanting, yeah, it's a Jedi mindfuck. It works.
Yeah,
but, right. Yeah.
I kind of want to edit, like, the Pornhub intro and then have that conversation happen.
You can do that post.
It wasn't
post,
pornographic. You
know. Yeah. Anyway.
But, they go back to the ship, though, and they get more of his old crewmates or squad, whatever you want to call that. And they're all, like, big, beautiful people, too. And pretty soon they basically take over the ship, and he's, like, going to throw Kirk in, like, a decompression chamber and fucking kill him.
Yeah.
But the anthropologist lady changes her mind and saves him at, like, the last minute. And then from there, it's, like, they're able to, like, save other parts of the crew and kind of, like, figure out a way to, like, take the ship back. And Kirk has a fight with Khan and, like, gets his fucking ass kicked.
And then he pulls out the PVC pipe from the Enterprise and starts beating him to death.
Yeah, PVC. There's always, like, some kind of spot in the old show where, like, I know it's an old show, and you know some of the props are not going to be as convincing. It's like that episode I talked about earlier where there was, like, giants you couldn't see on screen. Mm-hmm. They throw, like, these spears. The spears would wobble and shit when they would hit something.
Just how it's the force of how they hit.
Or you can tell, like, sometimes rocks, like Spock got pinned under, like, a giant rock, and you could tell it was just, like, a big piece of styrofoam or something.
Well, it happened in the episode previously we didn't talk about.
Oh, like, yeah, when the ship debris hit.
Yeah, when the ship debris falls, and it's like, is that just a giant Lego? Like, what?
Oh, someone's cooler fell on me.
Yeah, this is a giant styrofoam. It's like, oh no, get the beer and then save him.
Some people hate that shit and they like to rag on. I don't care. Like, my attitude about that kind of stuff is always like, that's what they had to work with at the time. So yeah, just treat it that way.
Well, that's why the movies, like, make it cooler.
Yeah, bigger budget too, you know? Because, like, this show was, like, kind of a gamble when it first started. And, like, it was kind of difficult to get off the ground. And it didn't last long either.
I'm watching shit about space that was made 60 years ago. I can't be too picky. I mean, this is how it is.
But at the end of the episode, like, after they take control of the ship again, like, they rest Khan and they figure out what they're going to do with him, and Kirk makes him an offer. He's like, we'll just leave you on, like, some desolate planet, and, you know, if you survive, then tame that world, brother.
And then the girl says, you can tame me too. I'll come with you.
Yeah, pretty much, which was, like, surprising to me, because I guess I don't want to get court-martialed and probably taken out of the Federation. So let me go to this dangerous planet with all these alpha males and alpha women, and because I only saw one woman in that group, and just join them. Was she in the movie, by the way, Andy?
No, I don't think so. I do like that part where they're like, wouldn't it be nice to return 100 years from now and see the fruits of the seed you've sown? I was like, oh, it's not going to take 100 years.
It takes like 20, whatever.
I probably not, but, like, it's so funny that they took that episode and made a movie out of it. Like, I don't know if they were just like, I'm going to write this because we're going to make a movie later, but probably not.
I don't think so. That's what interested me so much about this episode. Like, I mean, it's slightly spoiler for ranking later. This was my least favorite of the original series episodes we watched, and I liked it fine, but like I was expecting, you know, for the episode to have the legacy that it did and for them to make what is probably the best Star Trek movie from that, I expected it to be fantastic. Instead, it was just, oh yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it was just pretty good. I'll admit this. The first time I watched this episode, I fell asleep.
Which it does drag on a little bit.
In the middle part, it drags some. I was sitting in a really cozy recliner, too, that's notorious for causing people to fall asleep that sit in it.
They'll do that.
So, yeah. That's not something I normally do when I watch stuff. I don't just doze off, but it did happen, and I had to watch it again. And I'm like, I'm recalling all this from memory because I watched this like a month ago or something. Hmm. But I still like it though. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I'm showing my hand a little bit. It was probably my least favorite of the three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But definitely my least favorite of the three. That doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, that's the thing about this whole list. It's like, we're still recommending all of these episodes. I mean, they're definitely ones that are better than others, but they're all good.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You guys got any other thoughts on this one?
Those were my thoughts.
No, I always love watching this episode before watching a movie, which I'm probably going to watch the movie again because of this episode. Because, you know, just seeing this and how they went from that to the movie. But yeah, recommend. We move into, unless you, anybody else have anything else to say about this episode?
No, I want to talk about the next one.
Yeah, the next one.
My favorite one. The City of the Edge of Tomorrow. So,
yep.
Zach, you want to take it away?
Yeah, so they're like, every episode just starts with them doing something, and then like something bad will happen, or they get a distress signal, or whatever. That's kind of like what happens here. The 1960s futuristic computer panel exploded in Sulu's face and he collapsed.
And his heart stopped.
And then McCoy was like, I got my EpiPen, because it's like a futuristic EpiPen. I don't know. Like,
so it's like an adrenaline EpiPen or something.
Yeah. They always use that thing to heal people. That's not the first time that little device shows up. And then like the ship like shook violently and he stabbed himself with it by accident. And then he got space madness.
He got the whole dose.
Yeah, he got space madness. My goodness, his flesh was coming off.
And a whole ship full of people can't restrain this doctor, this old guy.
He's notably older than everybody else on that ship. Yeah.
Think of fucked bones.
They're like, get him. Oh, he's too strong. Oh, no.
That's what happens when you get the space madness.
I guess so. Oh, real quick, it's a City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, I put tomorrow too. Whoops.
I said that before as well. I don't. It sounds more right because of Edge of Tomorrow.
I put that too. What the fuck's wrong with us?
I don't know.
We Mandela affected that.
Everyone did it. I Googled it real quick. I was like, wait, which one is it? And it is
Forever. That's season one, episode 28, by the way.
Yeah. What I do like about this one is they do something that I just appreciate in shows, is that as things happen, two separate, like, coincidental things that are happening in the show merge together to cause one bigger problem.
Yeah.
It's like they just happen to find that place where this eternal, the guardian of forever or whatever is, but also all this shit's happening and you got space madness going on, and they're like, we gotta figure out how to get out of here. This is weird time travel BS. And then space madness fucking bones run. And he just runs through a portal.
Yeah. I like to imagine that machine was like, I mean, it has some level of sentience, but it's like having a nice conversation with them about how it can travel in time, and the bones comes out, murderers, oh my god, and he just like sprints through the thing. Like, was that guy a friend of yours? What the fuck just happened?
Like, I know, like, in the 60s, they're not about like the meta commentary for the joke, but it would have been funny as a that was weird. That it would have been funny to hear that conversation. But yeah, I really enjoyed that whole dilemma though of being like, oh, this is strange. Okay. And then he enters like, ah, shit. It's like the Leroy Jenkins thing. That's what happened. Oh, like, oh, we're okay. Leroy Jenkins. And he runs right in. And they're like, oh, fuck. Oh, we got to clean this up.
I just love how every time he comes on screen after he overdosed himself on meth, he just yells, murderers, assassins. He's just like screaming. And it's like, as it progresses, it looks more and more like he's abusing meth. Like, he has, like, all these sores and shit all over him.
Yeah, it's like herpes and shit.
That's the most aggressive adrenaline I've ever seen.
Hang on. What happened to the bum that rolled him?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up.
I thought about that. Did they ever say?
No, he just takes the device and he beams himself somewhere.
Yeah.
Just leave it. Yeah, does that come up in the rest of the series?
I don't know. I haven't. I got to watch the rest of it. This is the furthest episode I've seen so far.
Oh, okay. So this is how far you are. Okay.
Yeah.
This is like one of the iconic episodes, by the way, because I think, is this one of the first time travel episodes, I think?
No. There's one before this, and they travel to like modern day, you know, at the time.
Yeah, because I know there's another time travel where Spock is like, has to wear a Nazi helmet or something like that. It was one of the... Anyway.
All the time traveling episodes are cool so far. Like, I've seen two out of, like, I don't know how many. And they are cool.
They do time travel right, in my opinion, in writing. Right. They don't.
Is there a reason why time travel always has to come back to the Nazis? Like, you just mentioned how he had to wear something. This episode, well, Germany wins because they go back and fuck something up in time. Like, why are they always involve the Nazis in time travel?
Well, it's pretty new, I guess. 60s.
Why didn't nobody want to stop Genghis Khan? Why did nobody want to stop Napoleon?
I just thought it was funny, like, the reason why Hitler won World War II is because there was too much peace in America, where they started pushing peace early and not enter the war.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense that we didn't enter it.
Yeah, the whole Manhattan Project just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So there was no reefs. Yeah.
But, yeah, after, like, this crazy McCoy jumps into the time portal, Spock and Kirk have to go after him to try to fix whatever time anomaly is going to happen. And that's the thing, because they get there, they can't use their little tricorder thing, the computer, the cell phone.
Yeah.
And they start having problems immediately because they look like a couple of weirdos compared to everybody else.
What's the thing with the cop? He's like, oh, you're a police officer. I noticed the accoutrements.
Yeah, what the
hell? I'm like, why do you have to say it that way? Fucking weirdo.
That's what's funny about that is Spock looked at him like he was like kind of halfway retarded when he said that.
Huh? Something wrong with you, boy? And he's like, oh, I look this way because that the accident when I was a child. He's like, get Chinese. Over there.
He was maimed in a mechanized rice picking accident. Yeah.
Because he's cotton. Chinese.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were trying to say he was Chinese. That's why he looks that way. Oh, boy. That didn't age well.
I also want to point out, like, before they go back in time, is, like, none of the Enterprise people are freaking out. Like, maybe they're freaking out internally that their Enterprise ship is not there and time has changed. But they're just like, I'm going to go through this fucking Stargate or whatever back in time. If you don't see us for a while, Scotty, go in there. Try to do something.
See, this is during the time when people dealt with their problems internally instead of like firing whatever stupid shit out in public that they want everybody to see. They dealt with it in a healthy manner. They kept it inside and developed alcoholism. It's fine.
I don't know if I'd call that healthy either, but it is different. So
it's a lot more peaceful.
Yeah.
Well, Edith Keeler, that's her name, right? Edith Keeler?
Edith Keeler, yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like alcoholics.
No.
No.
Those dirty bums.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kirk and Spock, they just find a random stairwell. They run away after they stole some dude's clothes, and, like, Spock had to do the Asiatic nerve hold to, like, that cop to subdue him. See, it was just Chinese. It works. It's just like Kirk said. Mm-hmm. But he learned it in the Space Orient, I guess. They go down there, they change clothes, and then, yeah, she comes down the stairwell and discovers them and gives them a job to work at the mission after they poorly lie their way out of that situation, too.
Yeah, and they never really say throughout the episode like how much time they've spent there, but it doesn't seem like they've been there a while. Yeah, I thought maybe even longer than that. It seemed like they were there,
I think, a week or two weeks, somewhere like that.
Yeah, I don't think it could have just been that whole love at first sight thing. I think actually they had to spend enough legitimate time so that he would fall in love with her. And under that, the crux of that situation, you know, it's like, okay, you literally have to let her die once they figure out the situation where she must die in order for the timeline to be preserved. Mm-hmm. But he's like, oh, I'm in love with her. Yeah, but literally, we don't exist if you... Like, you don't exist. Nobody exists. The starship, you know, the Enterprise doesn't exist. Like, she has to die.
What's really funny is, like,
fucked up.
They're, like, that's going on. And then, like, during that time, Spock's locked himself in a room trying to, like, do a science project. He's trying to, like, build a fucking, some kind of apparatus to power his little cell phone thing.
Oh, yeah. At one point, she's like, what is that? And he says what it is.
The radio.
And he says it in so many other ways. And she's like, okay, you keep doing that, honey.
But it was like, Kirk comes in, he's got like a bag of groceries and like another bag of like whatever, I guess parts for Spock. And he's like, Captain, I need like 6 pounds of platinum. It's like, where are you going to get that? Like 30s depression, New York. It's just, yeah. But yeah, they, so he's able to like power his cell phone up enough to like see what's supposed to happen. And they talk about that. She's supposed to die. And then he's like, but I like her. See, but he's like, but she has to die. But yeah, there's the conflict. She almost falls down the stairs, maybe breaks her neck. And he just saves her by reflex.
Yeah. But it turns out the spot where she had to die was related to them all along.
Well, Spock said it was a traffic accident. And then he's like, oh, Captain, that fall might have killed her. You might have already messed something up, you stupid idiot. So you said it was a traffic accident. What's a big deal?
I think quickly after that, he says, but we may not know if that would fix it or not. It might, you know, he says,
she would die in a different way. Yeah.
But like from there, McCoy finally shows up. And he scares some poor old dude, and he drops his milk.
Yeah, that was probably a lot of money's worth of milk, right? It was like a full.
That's what I was thinking. Like these dudes are in the depression. He's probably got his like week's worth of groceries there, and he's dropped his milk. Yep. Fuck.
He's like, "Hey, you!" And he starts chasing them.
No, I'm not a murderer, but they are. Who's they? Who hurt you? That's what I want to know.
Now it makes me wonder. Because she's supposed to die. Now, was McCoy supposed to stab himself with that little needle thingy so that he can go to that asteroid thingy to go through the Stargate in order to have either Keeler to get run over by a car because McCoy
was was it predestined?
Yeah.
This is the problem with time travel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why the guys from DS9, they don't like this.
They briefly have this conversation at the beginning of Trials and Tribulations.
This is why.
It's funny because, again, with Spock and Kirk, if they weren't there, she wouldn't have, like, heightened suspicious that they might be from a different planet. Because she kind of, like, treads the line a little bit. Like, oh, what war were you guys in? Why do you say Captain all the time? Why don't you know Clark Gable? This is weird.
Yeah. I mean, the way they write it off is just in the same way that it happens. They are supposed to be there to make sure it happens. Because the accident, again, what we don't know is it a separate accident on a different day that kills her? Or the same day, just in a different way?
Oh, the thing said that if you set everything back to the way it's supposed to be, you'll be teleported back. And they're teleported back, so that means...
Yeah.
Whatever. Because so that means that bum who gets vaporized didn't go on to do jack shit with his life.
Did he get vaporized?
I don't know.
Vaporized, I like to think he just teleported somewhere and...
I always thought, like, it would be funny, like, at the end of the episode, like, Kirk is, like, sad and pissed off that he has to go back because he had to let his like lover die. And then like he goes back to the Enterprise and something's changed because of that bum.
Something's off. But
we got to beam back up. Hang on, Captain. The Klutzy coil is acting up for some reason. Who's Klutzy? Yeah, you know, the famous physicist Klutzy McClanahan or what?
Who? But yeah, McCoy, like he ends up at that mission and she like gives him coffee and lets him sleep it off. He sleeps his meth addiction off and he's fine. And then like Kirk's talking to her, like they're getting ready to go on a date. And she says, "Oh, Dr. McCoy." He's like, "McCoy." And then he just so happens to like be out there or whatever.
And everything happens fast from there.
Very quickly. They ran out of time.
It reminded me of that Twilight Zone episode where like he's in the diner and stuff. And like the thing like tries to warn it to not to go out before you get hit by a car. But yeah. Like in Star Trek, she gets hit by a car.
McCoy tries to save her, and Kirk stops him. And
McCoy is the diner fortune teller.
He's like, "Why did you? Do you realize what you've done, man?" Yeah, and then Spock's like, "Yes, he does, Doctor." Mm-hmm. And then Kirk trembles. He's angry. He's sad, angry.
That's sad.
And then they get teleported back in front of the computer. And he's like, "My dudes, you fixed the time stream. Thanks."
And then the gateway's like, "I can take you anywhere." It's like he's getting off by people going through.
Please, and then they abandon him, and he's alone for several more millennia.
They're like, "We're ready." He's like, "Let's get the hell out of here."
Like, I always kind of hate loose ends like that in a series like this. Because, you know, at some point they're going to encounter something where like millions of lives are on the line. And like, you know, if we went back to that weird planet with the time thing, we could fix this.
Yep.
But they don't, obviously.
All right. Is it final ranking time?
Oh, yeah. I recommend the hell out of this episode. It was the best one we watched. Oh, and it was written by Harlan Ellison. Holy shit.
I didn't notice that when I watched it.
So. At the end, it was like directed by some loser, produced by some loser, written by Harlan Ellison. I was like, "Wait, like I have no mouth and I must scream, Harlan Ellison." So I googled it. Yeah, it's him. Him and Gene Roddenberry were buddies, and Gene was like, "Hey, I want you to write for my science fiction TV show." And as it was getting produced, Harlan was like, "This is stupid," but he wrote this episode, and then the episode came out, and he said, "This is fucking horrible. I hate it." And he like hates Star Trek till the day he died. And he wrote like the best episode I've seen.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. But they were still friends, but he was like, "The Star Trek's stupid. I'm not going to help you with this anymore."
He's like the other, he's like the grim, dark science fiction writer. That really was his thing. He saw everything as like terrible.
He's nihilist. He's nihilism. Incarnate.
I like, but I had to make sure we mentioned that because that was too interesting to me. But yeah, let's rank them.
All right. Woo! I'm gonna give you my personal ranking first. So number 12 I have Emergence. Number 11 I have Ship in a Bottle. Number 10 I have Space Seed. Number 9 I have Hippocratic Oath. Number 8 I have Q Who. 7 is Balance of Terror. 6 is Trials and Tribulations. 5 is Reunion. 4 is The Offspring. Number 3, Duet. Number 2, The City of Edge of Forever. And number 1, The Inner Light.
All right, I'll hit mine real quick, too, because there's a lot of them.
My God, I have hives from what Zach's doing in the Google Doc.
Sorry, something happened.
Yes, it did.
Dubs and I match at the bottom. I got Emergence, and then Space Seed, and then Ship in a Bottle, then Q Who, Balance of Terror, Hippocratic Oath, The Offspring, Trials and Tribulations, Reunion, City on the Edge of Forever, The Inner Light, and I have Duet at number 1, which I just, Inner Light is a better episode. I like Duet better.
Mm-hmm. Zach, what about you?
Well, I ruined everything, but here it is. I got Emergence at 12, Hippocratic Oath at 11, Space Seed 10, Mouse Terror 9. Trials and Tribulations 8, City on the Edge of Forever 7, not tomorrow. Kyuhu 6. Duet at 5. Ship in a Bottle 4. Reunion 3. Offspring 2. And Inner Light 1.
Jesus, we're all different.
I want to point out something I think that is probably more relevant than it's ever been, though. Zach, of course, gives us a number ranking, like, or gives his actual, like, out of 10 to the nearest 10th. And the difference between 12 and 1 is just slightly over a point. He gave a 7.6 to his lowest rated show or episode, and number 1 in Inner Light is an 8.7. So that just shows how hard it was to rank all these because they're so good. Hell, yeah. You even have some that ranked the same number. Like, they're ranked, like, it's difficult, right?
Yeah, a lot of the ones in the middle, I was just like, I got to put them somewhere. And I just, like, just jammed them all in the middle. Like, I don't even really feel like they're in the right order. I couldn't figure it out.
No, I kind of feel the same way. Like, I know very clearly my top three and my bottom three, and everything else in the middle kind of just jumbled.
It seems like we all match on the last one and more or less the first one, which is interesting. It's just the middle where there's...
Yeah, no, we know what the best one was and what we mostly thought was the least enjoyed one. I think it's the right way to say it.
Not the worst.
I would say worst because, again, these were all really good. I would recommend every single one of them. So, but to finish it off, I had Emergence at number 12, which I think that is unanimous between us all. I had Ship in a Bottle at 11, like Dubs did. I have Space Seed at number 10, just like Dubs. I had Kyuhu at number 9. Which, again, I can see at any point, like 9 through 5, I literally could just shuffle them. I could easily see Kyuhu at 5, but also 9. So take it for what it is. Number 8, Hippocratic Oath. 7, at Balance of Terror. The Offspring at 6. And Trials and Tribulations at 5. And Reunion at 4. And City on the Edge of Forever at 3. Of Duet at 2. And I have the Inner Light at number 1.
All right, so Emergence is 12. Inner Light is 1. Now what?
I believe, my opinion, I think City of the Edge of Forever should be number 2. I just think that's a better written episode than Duet. I think the stakes are a little bit higher in that if I have to, like, throw another thing into that episode. And I just thought the acting was great. The dynamic duo of Spock and Kirk puts it over than Duet, in my opinion.
I like Sitting on the Edge of Forever as well, but I think Duet has a lot more going on. They're both smartly written and everything. And plus, if you look at everyone's rankings, I think Duet does edge out City on the Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, I would forever. Definitely. I feel like Duet is, like, for me, it was very easy to put 1 and 2 where they're at, and there's a clear, like, if I'm tearing these, those two are above all the others, and then it starts to get a little murky. Like, to me, Duet's far better episode. City on the Edge of Forever is a really good episode, but Duet is, man, it pulls at the emotions. It's a really good, and again, that was the first episode I watched, and immediately I'm like, I'm going to watch this series.
Well, Zach, you have Duet at number 5. Do you want to fight for something to be at number 2 or 3 before I put Duet at number 2?
I like the Offspring the second best, but this gets into, like, a thing because everybody's got it ranked differently a little bit.
Oh yeah, that one's very all over the place.
Andy and I have it at 6.
But I think what this shows is people like different stories of Star Trek or different aspects of it more than others do.
I saw an article once talking about Next Generation and DS9, about how to start watching DS9 if you liked Next Generation, which now you know why I was reading this. But it said you can classify most modern Star Trek, or when they say modern, they meant the 90s Star Trek, in one of, I think it was 9 categories. And I did happen to notice that, like, 1 or 2 of the categories, I was like, holy shit, these are all my fucking favorite episodes. And then the other categories all had episodes that I like. But yeah, it's kind of speaking to what you're saying, is sometimes different people are looking for different things out of Star Trek, and that's what's so great. It's a really smart show, and it has a lot of different characters, and all the different characters offer different stories.
Yeah. I think Duet's better, obviously, than City on the Edge of Forever. Mm-hmm. It's the way I ranked it, and now I scored it. But I'm not going to fight for Offspring to be there just because I feel like that's like really, you know, it seems like it's really depends on who you are, why you liked it so much.
Duet. Well, then what's three? City on the Edge of Forever or Offspring?
I don't know if I'd rank Offspring. I would say Reunion's the other one, I would argue, because Zach's got that at three. I have it at four.
The Worf curve is in effect.
The Worf curve is in effect. Dubs has it.
Reunion was my second favorite Next Generation
episode. I'm willing to rank Reunion over Offspring in the main ranking because of the Worf curve.
The Worf curve.
Okay, so do you want to do...
Klingon principle.
Do you want to do number three, City of Edge... I'm going to say tomorrow. Edge of Forever... And then
Reunion.
Oh, we're doing Reunion number three.
I'm just saying if there's one that does contend, it's that. But I mean, if we're looking strictly from where we rank things, I think City on the Edge of Forever still like edges it out just a little.
What do you think, Dubs? Reunion or City on the Edge?
I think City of the Edge of Forever is over Reunion, and I would put Reunion at number four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like okay. That. Yeah. Do that.
Cool with that. Okay.
The Worf curve is still in effect.
Now that we have a top four, I'm not going to lie. As long as the top four are the way they are, and we all agree Emergence is 12, we can literally just make the rest a six-way tie for five.
I think Offspring is five.
Or seven-way tie.
Let's see. I'm trying to find some other similarities. We've got Offspring at five.
I think Offspring at five is good.
Everyone's got Trials and Tribulations at five or six or eight for Zach.
Yeah.
Q Who is it's middle low.
Yeah, Q. I know the term is kind of cringe, but Q Who is really mid. Like, it's great that it talks about the Borg, it introduces the Borg, but like when you look at that episode, it's like it's another Q episode, which I'm not hating because I love Q episodes.
Sure,
but it's just like not a lot of shit is going on. It's like, hey, I'm Q. I'm a dick. I'm gonna throw you into this like. Fucking super final boss people.
I expected you guys to like Q Who more, so I kind of came locked and loaded with this argument about how it's an essential episode, but it's not a good episode. But it seems like you all agreed with me, so who cares?
Yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say, like, the thing about that episode is, and we touched on it a little bit when we were talking about it before, was like, would it be as good if Q wasn't in it?
Yeah, like, they, probably not.
Like, if they just stumbled upon the Borg and then they, yeah, it wouldn't be.
It would be, it would still be a good episode of television, but I don't know if it would be as good without him.
They could have done Balance of Terror, but with the Borg. It could have been like, oh, a bunch of settlements on the edge of Federation space have been wiped out. We got to go find out what's going on. Or what the fuck, there's a cube in space.
If you do that, I would argue, I don't know if it would be as good because the Borg are just so overpowering compared to them is. You know,
well, yeah, like, they're uncompromising. I mean, hell, they don't even want to communicate. They just want to assimilate and take over. So yeah. I think my thing is that the Q Who episode, it stands to be something very important for a plot point through the series. And it's a Q Who episode, which we've already talked about. John Clancy, right?
That's right.
The callback, John Clancy. John Delancey's wonderful.
He wrote Some of All Fears.
That said...
Would you want to do this?
I would have finished my point though.
Okay, sorry.
But in my opinion, TNG, and I imagine DS9 is the same way, they are at their best when they are advancing the arc of a character, like to make you care about that. And they don't really do that in this episode, which is why I think, again, I think it fits in what Andy was saying. It's an essential episode, but it's not a great episode because of that. Because it doesn't do that. It doesn't need to. It has its own device that it's following, so it's fine. But
I mean, later they do it right. They do Best of Both Worlds, which advances a ton of characters. It's really important, and it's incredibly well written.
Yeah, agreed.
So Q Who needs to be at like eight or something.
Yeah, I think it needs to be on the lower end of that.
I think nine.
Pile. I mean, two of us have it at nine. I mean, I'm...
Dubs, you straight up have it at eight, actually.
Yeah, you have it at eight, Dubs. Yeah. And it's actually got it at six. I don't think that's fine. I mean, I think we agreed Offspring was five. I think Trials at six makes sense because it's consistently in that area, more or less. Does that sound right?
Yeah, I mean, trials and tribulations, even though it's like a almost borderline filler comedic, but it's like a good comedic filler.
It's episode. A very well-directed episode. It's just it's just very well-written. It's a really cool idea in terms of what they do with an old episode. It's just a really neat idea. It worked really well.
All right, all right. we all have Ship in a Bottle real low except Zach. Zach, you got to go to bat for Ship in a Bottle.
Oh. I like Moriarty.
Fair enough.
The old I like turtles argument. Let's go.
He marks out the Moriarty. I guess I get it.
The Moriarty mark out, just like the Worf curve, the Klingon principle.
The Moriarty curve.
It's just, it goes back to what I was saying. People like different things about different parts of these shows.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was because of Barclay.
I'm not going to fight for any of this, honestly, just because I think it's like a taste thing.
Yeah.
So Ship in a Bottle 11?
Sure.
Space Seed at number 10?
Yeah, I mean, I've got it at 11.
I have it at 10. We all have it at 10 or lower. Honestly, I would actually argue Space Seed goes to 11 because unlike Zach having the other one higher, Space Seed, we all have 10 or like the highest it's at is 10.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. I'll give Zach. I'll argue for Zach when he can't argue for himself. I would at least say that one goes lower than Ship.
All right. So now we're doing basically what I did when I ranked personally is okay. What's left? Put them in the middle.
Yeah, basically.
Balance of Terror, I think, is better than Q Who and Hippocratic Oath, in my opinion.
I would agree.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. So number 7 would be Balance of Terror.
Yeah.
Sure. Now. I have to like bury myself right now because I did put Q Who at number 8, but after talking about it, I think Hippocratic Oath should go over Brother at number 8 compared to Q Who.
If you want to talk about advancing character plot lines, Hippocratic Oath does that hugely for like 4 characters.
Oh yeah, I was going to say I think I like Hippocratic Oath more than the Q Who episode.
Okay, well there you go. That's 8. Q Who's 9.
Yeah.
There, we did it.
We did it.
After you get it plugged in, why don't you run us through the master ranking?
All right, so final ranking, number 12 is Emergence. Number 11 is Ship in a Bottle. Number 10 is Space Seed. Number 9 is Q Who. Number 8 is Hippocratic Oath. Number 7 is Balance of Terror. Number 6 is Trials and Tribulations. Number 5 is The Offspring. Number 4 is Reunion. Number 3 is City of the Edge of Forever. Number 2 is Duet. And number 1 is The Inner Light, and we're supplemental, I guess, right? Or
that's the eugenics war ranking.
Yeah.
Everybody else that was unworthy and of poor genetic stock died to come up with this rank.
Yeah, and I love Star Trek, guys. I love it.
I like
so
it a lot too now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. It's the kind of thing I'm like, there, I finally saw the best of Star Trek. And then I keep like expanding my horizons. I'm like, I haven't even got started.
I know, right? Yeah, I watched TNG. I was like, I'm satisfied. I'll never need to watch this stuff again. There's so much more now. Now, I in the middle of this, I was already like, well, I got a whole new series to watch. Now I have 2. I'm not like, fuck. It takes so long.
You're going to watch the original series. And then I'm probably going to go ahead and watch Voyager. And honestly, I keep getting told Enterprise is worth watching, so fuck, I guess I might as well watch that too.
Yeah, I watched that recently with Scott Bakula, and I was like, I've never heard good things, and all the Star Trek fans kind of shit on it a little bit, but I watched it, I'm like, it's really good.
You know who didn't shit on it was the Red Letter Media videos. They kind of had some nice things to say about it. Like, they don't like prop it up like they do TNG, of course, but they said it was like all right. And I watched a bunch of it once during a marathon, and I liked it then, but I also had a fever at the time, so I don't know, I might be an idiot.
You had space fever.
Here's something I want to throw out at the time. Here's something I want to throw out into the ether, since we've been like dabbling with like TV shows a little bit. Some comedic TV shows that I might want to dabble in is Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because there's some bangers that we could, you know, watch.
You don't have to convince me to watch From Ham. There's so many good episodes. I would even argue if we ever go down that route, I would probably intentionally choose like more challenging episodes. Because it's so easy to just pick great episodes that are just hilarious.
How about the episode where Mac has to do the interpretive dance at the end?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The one where Charlie finds out, meets his real dad, and then I don't know if I'm ruining shit for everybody.
It's all sunny in Philadelphia, but also, like, it is kind of a big deal.
Like, Zach, have you watched this show?
No, I've only seen like random episodes.
I'll go ahead and spoil it.
You've seen the one where the gang beats Pogs, at least.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a great one. But like, so there's an episode. There's a whole arc where they go to Ireland, and Charlie doesn't know his dad. Well, he ends up meeting his dad. Then his dad dies while he's there, and there's a whole thing about him like trying to take his dad. They talk about it, the family curse. Like, you have to take your loved ones and throw them over a ledge and off the cliff, or you're cursed. So he's like trying to carry his dad, and it's raining and he can't do it, and he just breaks down and he's like, you were never there for me, now I have to carry up this stupid hill. And his friend show up. It's like between that and then Mac doing the dance to try to come out to his dad that he's gay, like they're like really heavy emotional hits in that show that you just don't expect, because otherwise that show is just so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So it's brilliant. I love that show. So yeah, there's that recent episode, like in the newer season. It's not even emotional. It's just funny. They go to like the Chuck E. Cheese equivalent. I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
The laser tag one?
No, not laser tag. It's a newer one. It's like the newest season. Yeah, they blow up a Chuck E. Cheese, basically. It's so fucking funny.
Zach, if I can give you the elevator pitch for the show, and I know you've seen enough of it to like kind of know what it's about, but here's the thing. Now that you've seen Seinfeld, you're like primed and ready to watch It's Always Sunny, because they have the same premise. They're both about four assholes. That's the premise of the show. It's four jerk-offs are all terrible to each other and everyone else. That's the premise of the show.
I don't think Kramer's a jerk.
Yes, he's a jerk. Oh.
Yeah, they're different flavors of asshole. He is a very strong flavor of asshole.
Man, that's exactly. They're all like different levels of like socially inept or narcissistic or whatever. You know,
it's like if assholes came in different flavors of coffee.
Yeah,
that's what I think of it. Sorry, Dubs, I keep interrupting you. I'm also a flavor of asshole.
We started blasting.
So anyways,
I know that joke.
Yeah, and plus, Zach, Roddy Piper's in one of the episodes, which you probably said.
Yeah, it was more than one episode.
I bought a timeshare. When we move it in, boys.
You have kids, Animal?
Not anymore.
I'm reminding my own kids.
And here was I was going with it is Scott Bakula is in one of the episodes. And he's pretty much playing the Quantum Leap character. He's like, Z, are you out there? And he goes into like a musical number. It's really great. Anyway, that's something in the future that we'll talk about. Maybe we'll, you know, spice in there in some of the episodes. But next month, the next theme is wrestling movies. And I guess I'm going first as far as my pick, Ready to Rumble with David Arquette. So I'm going to preface you guys because it is the suburban commando of wrestling movies.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, because I like the movie, but it's shit. It's like Vince Russo probably wrote this episode, this movie.
Sometimes movies are shit and they're still enjoyable.
True.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't think Suburban Commando was enjoyable.
When he said Suburban Commando, I was thinking more it's the Manus Hands of Fate.
No, we all agree that one sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I guess he's saying he likes it. I don't know. This movie really sucks, but it's like you can appreciate how bad it is.
Dubs having Zach and I watch Suburban Commando is one of my favorite moments from any episode of the show. I love it. Because it's just like shit all over it. And like I wanted to feel bad about it, but I was also pissed off, so it was okay.
It was funny because like I've usually during Christmas I usually take my 2 weeks off and stuff. And I was like pumping it up for these guys. I'm like, oh, these guys are going to watch Suburban Commando. And it let up. And I like turned it on and literally like everything was just like them shitting on it.
Yeah, that's the most important part is he wasn't here to defend it. It was just a Zach and I show.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was this movie. Oh no. I just didn't remember that was the name of it. It's the fucking Hulk Hogan Space Ranger movie.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
Oh my God. This movie is so bad.
Mm-hmm, but oh, I loved it as a kid.
Oh yeah, I mean that's fine though. I mean,
yeah.
I was watch this.
That's a theme where we each choose a movie. I loved it as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that is a good movie.
That is a good
movie. Defend your childhood. Yeah. Ooh, I got a really good movie for that.
The Super Mario Brothers Super movie. That's probably what I choose.
Well, is the premise for that you liked it as a kid, but you know it's sucks?
Trash. Yes, it
okay.
is.
Yeah,
it's got to be a bad movie. That I think.
Keep it in the back of your head.
Oh, yeah, don't do
it next month or anything. It's just be thinking about it. You'll think about it. But I've got something for that.
We're all gonna pick movies that are comedies, but it's because we're laughing at them, not with them.
Oh, We're Back, A Dinosaur Story. That's another one. You watch that movie again, it sucks.
I'm just trying to think of all the Pauly Shore movies I watched.
So we're getting way off the rails, and I wanted a shorter episode because I got to get up early. Yeah, Stubbs, you want to roll us into an ad, and then we can do post-credits?
Yeah, post-credits seem good. Here's an ad.
Wrestling nerds, wrestling weebs, wrestling fans. If you're looking for a different kind of podcast, one that goes over actual big wrestling news, I mean real stories, not somebody getting divorced or baseless rumors or whatnot, and get some color, we got that. We also do reviews of wrestling from the past, but sometimes we also do wrestling from the modern day too, if it's something that interests us at the time. Other than that, I would say the main attraction is just three guys who have been lifelong wrestling fans doing what wrestling fans do. Cutting up, cracking jokes, and just enjoying the entertainment wrestling can provide, however that comes. If you want to catch Getting Some Color, you can catch it bi-weekly on Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, usually.
Boom.
Every time I hear the usually part, like I listen to it closely and it sounds like the tone gets different every time. No, I'm not on gummies. No, I'm not drunk. It's just weird. Anyway.
It's because I changed the tone of the word usually. See, I say usually and I say usually.
It's different. Maybe you're because you're an admin, you change it every week. Anyway. Chaz, you're first in the video bracket here. So what the hell you been watching, playing, or doing?
Yeah.
He played cards, he pissed somebody off.
God damn it. Well, all right. Go on. That's he pretty much got it.
Talking about cards, I think about the same meme that I saw, and it was hey, these are children, maybe you can let them win a few games, and then it's a picture of you and it's a picture of Max Verstappen every time.
That's good. No, I've still been playing FF7 Rebirth. Update on what happened last week. I had the bullshit where I was upset. Well, it turned out if I went back and picked a different save, it actually did have the autosave and it fixed it. So I went on and kept playing. I'm a good bit further now. I've been through two other sections. I'm now like working my way through the Cosmo Canyon area, which is one of my favorite parts of the original game.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Cosmo Canyon story and everything with Red or Nanaki. So I'm actually interested now to hear how they pronounce that. If it's Nanaki or Nanaki, but we'll see.
I always said Nanaki.
I always said Nanaki, which means it's wrong because it's
fine. What did you say? You're north of Mason Dixon line. How did you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Nanaki.
Nanaki. I did. When I don't know how to say things, I just go.
I respect that.
He said, that's a good boy right there. That's what that is.
Should have said tomato.
Tomato. This is how weird I was about it. Like, when I would play through the game, you know how you can name Red? But fuck no, I know his real name. I'm not giving him a slave name. I always name him.
It's not a slave name. He's been emancipated. No more of this shit.
Exactly. Fuck that Red 13 shit. But anyway, I am still thoroughly enjoying the game, crazy amount of things, and just it's like the more I keep playing these mini games, I'm like no wonder it took them so long to make this. They must have been playing these mini games out for like a decade. Like it's insane. But
it's even more like Yakuza than it was before.
No, yeah, I just got to an area now, and it's like, remember the old like Spire of the Dragon? You had like the ring challenge stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta glide.
There's one of those games with chocobos.
I actually, I was talking to a buddy about that game and Yakuza. He's playing both, and he said it's weird. I'm playing a game that used to be turn-based, but is now action-based, and then I go to play a game that used to be action-based, but is now and they both have 600 minigames in them.
That is very fair. That's exactly what it is. But yeah, as far as other things, I've not done any Warcana stuff, but I've got to start prepping because the set championship stuff's this month, and I'm going to get ready for those. Pokemon, I played in a cup this weekend, and I got top 8, which sounds great, but and I got a lot of points for it, but there were only 8 people. So. Yeah, I didn't actually do too hot.
You made it into the top 8 out of 8. What did you actually place?
I placed 6th.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Not 8th.
It's not 8th. I won once. I got beat by Child.
Okay, so you didn't max for
that. You let a kid child. Win.
No, I didn't let him win. He beat my ass. But he is ranked in the top. He is ranked in the top 10 in the world in juniors. So he is really good at the game. This 9-year-old fucking slaps Pokemon, let me tell you.
Chaz and Hulk Hogan, that's not going to work for me, brother.
Oh, no. You know what's funny is I'd already lost my first round, so I was going to give him the win anyway because it's like I don't need the points. He could actually use them because he's close to getting his world's qualification. And so I was going to just give it to him, and then he beat my ass. So it didn't matter. Like, it wasn't even close.
You gave it to him, all right.
Yeah, but I'm good friends with his dad. Like, they're locals in our shop, too. And then, funny, I played his dad the next round, and the dad's the one I beat. He's the only guy I beat to win. But anyway.
We know who wears the pokey pants in that family now.
Yeah, but, yeah. No, they're a good family. They're really nice. I haven't played. Oh, I played a little bit of Rock Band. I like dug that out. I forgot to add that to my to-do list, but there's some they finally added like a bunch of other like Rock Band 2 songs back over. It's like Master Exploder's back on there, which is sweet.
Were still adding songs. I thought they just quit.
Oh, dude, they are still churning out like several. It's like they come in these big packs like a month each month, yeah, and they release like release like 3 to 4 each week. Yeah.
Like, have you looked at how expensive it is to buy a guitar for a modern console now? It's like more than $100.
I'm glad I bought that Jag then when I did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I got mine on clearance at GameStop. And now they stopped making them. So, presumably they're going to make them again because of...
Yeah, there's a third party that just made a Kickstarter for it, and it's like a $500 guitar controller. And the Kickstarter already sold out.
I want an El Cheapo Mad Cats edition. That's all I need.
Yeah. I've got my band stuff. I would love to get the drum set, but there's so many extra steps to like making that work, and I'm not going to play it enough to make it worth my while, so I'm just not going to bother. But anyway, I had fun messing with that, though. I picked up Outlaw Star again and kept pushing through. I'll say that show, I don't know, it didn't click with me at first, but like episode 7, 8, it really gets into the premise of what the show's about. And it picks up. It's pretty fun, and I only have 2 episodes left. I think I'm like in the middle of episode 24. It's like 2.5 episodes. It's been good, so I'm gonna finish that. And then the only other thing I watched of relevance, I watched The Iron Claw, which I will not talk about because that may come up in our wrestling month. So I'll save my thoughts on it.
That's it.
That's all I got.
All right. I know I said I did nothing, which is technically true. I played Among Us with some friends. It's like I like it, but it's annoying at the same time of people like yelling in my ear that they didn't do something. And I go, I saw you, man. Like, just admit it.
My favorite part version of that game period is the one where the guy is like aggressively yelling how he didn't do it. He's like yelling, like, no, Susan did it, fuck her, she did it. And he's just like yelling really aggressively and starts saying hate you gamer words that I can't yell. Like, that's my favorite version. Someone go way over the top, like, you know what, I don't even care if you did it, I just want you to die. So you'll stop yelling, so you just kill that person, just
get him out of here.
Yeah,
you deserve to die even if you're innocent.
I've been watching a lot of I don't know if you guys see it on YouTube. It's called Healthy Gamer GG. It's like a psychiatrist who's like helping people out with like their like emotions. There, he's like a coach too. He's not like one of those like alpha male people that are coaching you. He's like coaching you like if you have stress or, you know, trying to find a career, trying to find motivation and stuff. He's really good, by the way. His name is Dr. K, Healthy Gamer GG. Great YouTuber. And then I watched a CM Punk interview. I'm not going to go deep into it, but holy fuck, it's so spicy, that interview. And if you want to know...
I was just saying, don't go too deep in it. Save it. I figured we may talk about it on our other show. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I watched The Passion of Cody again.
That's like immediately what I thought when it happened. Like on Monday, I was like, they're doing Pastor Cody.
Yeah, he got whipped. I'm just excited for WrestleMania. Chaz is going there in IRL, and it's going to be a special moment because I don't know what's going to happen. Drew and Seth Rollins are happening on day two or night two, and that's making me a little worried. A little worried that Sethy boy might get a little angry.
I don't care. It doesn't matter what happens. Like, there's no way Cody doesn't win this title, and the extra bonuses. I just need to hear that glass break. I mean, you guys will know. Like, other than the obvious of watching, like, I'll just send you a picture of me shaving my head. I'm like, well, I'm bald now. I had to go full Stone Cold. So
yeah, and Andy, to give you context, they're like flirting with Stone Cold possibly coming because they did like a camera angle of John Cena and Stone Cold on like a WrestleMania truck. And then,
I couldn't imagine them doing that just to get people to watch.
That too. That could be a possibility. Just be like, is he going to come or not? Yeah. But then Stone Cold did like a TikTok or an Instagram or whatever of him being like coming back from hunting and stuff. And he's like, some of a bitch gave me an Easter basket full of fucking beers. And people are saying Cody Rhodes did that. Like an invitation to WrestleMania.
There's also, this one was also kind of spicy. There was one about Dustin Rhodes. People were like, oh man, I wish you could be there for your baby brother and help him. And then it was, his response was, don't worry, I'll be there more than you know.
So
see Goldust show up.
Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, that's all I've been doing. Andy, what about you?
Still playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. It still rules, but I'm not done with it, so I don't have much to say about it. I'm also still playing through Sonic Origins. I've hit the point that I feared most. I'm trying to beat Sonic 2. I love that game, but the last boss, just fuck it. Fuck the whole thing. I hate it.
The giant robot. Like, is it
the
whole sequence? Robot. It's not just Metal Sonic
2? No, Metal Sonic, like, after you beat him once or twice, it's so easy. Like, you can almost do it with your eyes closed. It's just one teeny tiny a couple pixels off when you're fighting the giant egg robo and you're dead, and it's like, fuck, I got this whole fucking thing again. And it's just, and if I recall properly, it takes more than 8 hits because it's the final boss. Fuck that decision. That's stupid.
Yeah, I remember as a kid I was totally pissed. Yeah, it's like 12, I think, is the hit.
Yeah, but I'm there now and I'm doing it. I'm gonna do it, and after that I get to play Sonic 3 and Knuckles, which is what I really want. I have a lot of thoughts about Sonic CD, and I was going to talk about it on the show, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, I might just be a loser and make a Sonic video on the internet and talk about Sonic. So I don't know, I might do that. Let's see, what else? Any other game stuff? That's it. I recorded and posted some more Big Trouble Rips. Please go follow youtube.com/BigTroubleRips. I opened an Elite Trainer box from the new set, and I already talked about that 10 last week, but I got another 10 that I haven't opened yet, but here's a little teaser, and by the time you hear this episode, it'll be up, so go watch it. It's from 2019, so it might have some old stuff in it, but it also might just be bullshit, and it might just have Silver Tempest in it, so I don't know yet. Have you guys ever seen or heard of I Think You Should Leave? On Netflix?
No.
It's a sketch comedy show, and it's very funny, and I like it a lot. I'll just leave it at that. It's kind of a dry nonsense humor. But what's the guy's name? Tim Robinson or something. I don't know. It's a funny show. It reminds me a lot of Mr. Show, if you liked that.
Okay.
It's a little less wacky than that, but it has kind of the same feel to it sometimes. I watched the movie The Raid Redemption. You ever seen that?
No.
Oh, really? Really? That's a famous movie, I thought. It is an extremely cool action movie. It's got really good fight choreography. It's like this police force has to go into the slum. It's like an apartment building, and this drug lord owns it, and basically, like, he rents it, but the people he's renting to are all, like, criminal scumbags, and the cops all come there, and they basically get trapped there when he, like, gets on the intercom and is like, whoever kills these cops coming to get me, you get to live here free or whatever. And so they got to, like, fight their way out. It's got a lot of really good gunfights and martial arts in it. It's a really good movie. It actually, I think it leaves Netflix. Oh, 2 days ago, actually. Never mind. No, but it's really good. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's a little, it's like an hour and 40 minutes, and it's just perfect for an action
movie. Oh, hey, I got Redemption. I have the Redemption for you right here. Mm-hmm. It's free on Tubi.
There you go. Go watch it on Tubi. Tubi's always there, baby. And I also watched, right after that, like, it's real gritty and serious and bloody. I was like, I need to balance this out. So I watched Super Mario Brothers movie, the new one. It's not that bad. It's pretty fun. It's a fun movie.
Oh, yeah. Did you not watch it?
No, I'd never seen it before. I kept thinking, I'll watch it later. I expected to, like, kind of hate it, but no, it's fun. I like it. Honestly, at the beginning, I was getting a little worn out because it's like, oh, look, it's a Little Mac on the wall. Oh, look, he's got an R-Wing model. Oh, look, it's got, like, I was getting worn out. Okay, I get it. There's a lot of references in this movie. But once they actually get to the Mushroom Kingdom, they stop doing that shit. Oh, also, Charles Martinet is in it briefly. I liked that a lot. That was very funny. But yeah, it's a fun movie. Like, you know, it's not going to win any awards, but it served its purpose. And I think that, oh, I did want to mention, but I'm not going to talk about it because I've already talked about it on the show. I re-listened to the Hardcore History episode, Prophets of Doom, which I've never really, it's a 4 hour and 15 minute history podcast. I've never liked one so well that I had to re-listen to it, but that's a really good episode. I like it a lot. So I re-listened to it. Check it out if you're interested in history. I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
Before I move on to Zach, I just want to reference, because I did post, I think I posted it in the Messenger, and then also The Rock showed it on Raw when he was making Cody Rhodes bleed that one night. He made children cry to the point where they didn't want to watch Moana anymore. And then the other one was crying because Cody Rhodes was getting beat up. So I just want to bring up that I love that it's making kids cry.
Did you watch Raw last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually brought it up, on the show. It was like, well, sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do. And he's like, put your kids in front of the television. Uncle Rock has something to say to him. And he just talks about how he's going to beat Cody's ass.
Yeah.
I love that he played into it.
That's what's missing in wrestling as far as the heel persona. So
my favorite one was like that girl that said he was dead.
Yeah. I just want him back. It's like, what's the matter? It's like, Cody just died. He's dead. Oh man.
But that's what I wanted to bring up. Zach, what about you?
I too watched the Ariel Hawani CM Punk interview, and it was spicy, but it's not like he's like yelling and shit, or he's angry. No, it's pretty chill interview.
He just makes a lot of blunt comments about what really happened.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And it was a good interview because the guy wasn't like constantly interrupting and trying to, you know, get one over on him or anything. It was like how an interview should be done. So I enjoyed it. I've still been watching like 70s wrestling, but that journey is about to come to an end because I've just almost run out of material because a lot of it just isn't available.
You gotta get the tapes.
Yeah, tapes. I'm at the point now where I'm trying to hunt down like just random matches of people I want to see. Like that's just the point I've reached now. There's no more complete shows.
Damn.
So far, I've not seen anything that's been like really good. like I saw a couple Bruto matches and they're kind of ho-hum. It is what it is. Saw some Superstar Billy Graham matches. They were okay. And that's basically where I stopped. And I'll update that later at some point. Watch more of that Legends of Wrestling show. They did an episode about tag teams. They did an episode about Southern wrestling. That was probably the most interesting. Families, you know, famous families. And wrestling in the 70s, which was interesting too. Because it's like, hey, that's what I've been watching. And I read, I finished a comic book. I read Spider-Man versus Silver Sable, which is like a compilation of.
I never read that one.
Silver Sable showed up. If you know that character, don't you?
Yeah, I know who it is, but I never read it.
Oh, I got this because in the local comic shop, I was just like browsing the Spider-Man section and I found it. And I was like, oh, this has a couple of the issues I had when I was a kid in it. Like literally some of the first comics I had, some of those issues were in the book. So I was like, I have to just buy this off out of principle because I don't own those books anymore. They're gone. It's okay. At the end of the day, it ended up just being like an okay book.
Mm-hmm.
Like the best story was in like the last two issues, which is like, it's weird because Silver Sable is like a mercenary and stuff. And she's kind of like, she's a merc for hire kind of thing. Sometimes she fights Spidey. Sometimes she helps him. And in the last two issues, she wasn't really that involved in what was going on. It was weird. It was more like a Spider-Man Black Cat story. And she fucks him over really bad in that story. And that's why it was so interesting, because there was just like a lot of, you felt a lot of like, oh, God damn it. You screwed my boy. And he's pissed. Like you get that kind of vibe from it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's about all I got to say about it. It's just okay. Like, I don't know. Yeah. If you're a really big Spider-Man fan, maybe you would enjoy it. That's it.
That's it. All right. We're ready to rumble is next week. Remember to stick your finger in your ass and, you know, put it on the rim of your slushy and say, this smells like ass. Get me another fucking slushy.
What the fuck?
Yeah. There you go.
That happens in the first 2 minutes of the movie, and that is the peak of the movie, and it's all downhill from there.
Yep. So get ready. Get ready to rumble.
Ass slushy.
All right. Anyway, guys, we're going to head out. PP Dubs is going to sign us off. So bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Live long and prosper. While I'm doing the thing, they can't see it.
You're doing the Vader.
Hey, do you want to be in the show? Make sure you email them bigtroublenet@gmail.com. They are also on Twitter @bigtroublenet. You can listen to all their shows on all podcast services. So until next time, catch ya in the next pit stop.